Good morning, everybody. That sounds much better. My name's David. Welcome. I feel welcomed. Is that better? It's great to be here. I just want to say, for a heat wave, you're not doing very well. It's beautiful here. It's a lovely town. We came to the carols last night. It was wonderful. Thanks for inviting us up. And it's been a great time just to be able to meet a group of people that love God and want to meet their community. I find it interesting when you look at people, there's so many different types of people. And some people, when they look at a situation or a place, they see what is. There's some who, when they look at a situation or a place, they see what was. And there's others who look at a place and a situation and they look at what could be. And I love to be able to dream about what could be, to understand or pray and find what God wants us or wants people to be, what God wants me to be. Now, I've been sick for the past few days, so ordinarily I'd have a PowerPoint, but I might have that ready for next week. I don't know if that'll help, but I don't have it today, so I'm sorry. But one of the advantages of being sick is that your brain doesn't work, so you can watch that, you know, that box on the wall, that TV, that adds to brain cell damage. But I saw one of the shows I really like is Grand Designs, Restoration Man, those sorts of shows. Do you watch those? And I saw one a couple of days ago, and these people looked at this barn, and it was in England, and you know, the barn is 400 years old, and I think it started to decay about 300 years ago. And so they look at it and go, we're going to build this beautiful place. And Mr. Restoration Man, George, looks at it and goes, that's a mistake. I look at it and go, yeah, I think that's maybe too far gone. And they say the first step is to pull it completely apart and take it to a shed because it's that messed up. And I'm going, really? I don't think this is a good project. Then an hour later, at the end of the show, you see what they've built and they've done, and you go, that is amazing. It's amazing how people can see what's not there and create what could be. And as we look in the Bible, as we look at Christians, as we look at our church, we can see that there were people that had a picture of what could be. I want to tell you about a story about a man. And a man who felt that God was giving him a new place to live, a new place for his family. And he set off. He set off with his wife. He set off with all his possessions. He grabbed his nephew and they took off. They'd never left their town before, but they followed after what they thought God wanted for them and they pursued that. And they walked and they walked and they walked and they encountered all of these things. They eventually found this place and God said, this is where I want you to be. His wife and him had a child. Lots of things happened. They ended up going away to another country. They became slaves. A couple of hundred years later, they went back to where God had promised, the vision that he originally had, and he was established, his family was established there. And the story of Abraham is the story of us. The story of Abraham was the start of the Israel nation. It was the start of the people of God. It came from a man who had a vision from God and chased after that vision from God. Now, was that a smart thing to do? No. Was it an easy thing to do? No. Was it something he could say, this will happen, I can achieve this? No. But he chased after the vision that God had for him because he trusted in God and he trusted in what he believed God wanted for him. And if we read the Bible, there's story after story after story of people who had a vision from God and chased after the vision that God had for them. And we have those stories because God did absolutely amazing things through him, through them, and through us. So the question I have is, who are you as Stanthorpe Baptist Church? So who are you now? who were you, but most importantly, who are you going to become? Because who you're going to become drives who you are. It drives your decisions, it drives your motivation, it drives your capacity to be able to be not the same, but better. It drives us as individuals to be able to say, well, who am I? What is God enabling me to be? And what can I become? What is God doing in Stanthorpe as a town through the churches? And what's the role of the Baptist Church within that? I think vision is critical to people and as a people. So what is the vision? Where is the vision for you and for your church? Bob Logan said, described vision as this: the capacity to create a compelling picture of the desired state of affairs that inspires people to respond, that which is desirable, which could be, should be, that which is attainable. A godly vision is right for the times, right for the church, and right for the people. A godly vision promotes faith rather than fear. A godly vision motivates people to action. A godly vision requires risk-taking. A godly vision glorifies God, not people. A vision is what drives us to become what we can be. A vision what enables us to be able to step into what God wants us as a people to become. We need a vision. And the Bible talks constantly about the people of God having a vision and pursuing the vision that God puts before them. Solomon shared in Proverbs how important it was, and in Proverbs 29:18. Now I'm going to read this in three different translations because each translation captures a different picture of what it is. The first one is, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. A different version, different translation. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. And a third translation. Where there is no revelation, the people throw off all restraint. So the people perish, the people stumble over themselves, and the people throw off all restraint. A vision pulls people together. A vision gives hope, gives life. A vision enables people to achieve what God wants us or the community to achieve. A vision is critical for a people to become one and to become one together to do great things in the community that they're called to. Charles Swindle said, "Vision is essential for survival. It's greater than sight, deeper than a dream, broader than an idea. Vision encompasses vast vistas outside the reign of the predictable, the safe, the expected. No wonder we perish without it." Vision is so critical. James read a passage about Paul, and it talked about a race. And a part of that he talked about was to keep your eyes focused on the end, focused on the goal. Don't know if you follow cricket. Couple of murmurs. We've just been to India. We won 3 out of 10 games. Who was most successful, India or Australia? Why was Australia most successful? They won the World Cup. There were 10 games. India won 7, but Australia won the best one. And the vision was to win the World Cup. The other games are important. Man, not so much. If I was Indian, I might have a different opinion. But they went to win the World Cup and Australia won the World Cup. They had that vision. That was the prize. India won more games, but it's really not the prize. What is our prize? What are we aiming towards? What is the vision that we have before us? Vision is important. Jesus had a vision. At the start of Jesus' ministry, he stood up in the synagogue in Luke 4, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew who he was to become. Jesus knew what God was calling him to be, and he walked in that. He knew he had the vision from God of who he was. And then the other passage James read, which I love because it's almost hidden, and it says that when the days drew near for him to receive up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now, over the next few passages, it says, "And Jesus continued to Jerusalem, and Jesus set out again for Jerusalem." This is the last year of Jesus's, our known ministry of Jesus. So he's in ministry for 3 years. The last 12 months, he set his face to Jerusalem and he walked to Jerusalem. He knew what was in front of him. He had the vision for what he was to do. And he set his face towards that, his focus towards that. And what was that? That was to be crucified, to be killed, to be rejected. He set his face towards what he knew had to happen. I love how in the story it keeps popping back and saying Jesus went to Jerusalem. Jesus continued. He set back out on the road. He set steadfastly set his face. He was determined to pursue the vision that he had, the vision that God the Father had called him into. We need to own that same vision of saying, what does God want us to be? Us as people, us as a church, what does God want us to be and how are we going to get there? God's calling us to have a vision. God's calling us to make a difference in our community. God's calling us to be something that we aren't yet, but we can be. Vision is so critical to who we are. But why? Well, the first thing is it gives us motivation. We're motivated to do things God's calling us because there's something that we're working towards. If we have just, can everyone jump up and do this job, then people will. But if we understand that that job leads to, then that gives us motivation to be able to pursue what God's calling us to. There's a French pioneering aviator. Here you go, here's a bit of French for you. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. Am I close? I can't speak French, obviously. But he said, if you want to build a ship, don't herd people together to collect wood and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for endless immensity of the sea. What he's saying is, what are we looking towards? And let's build towards this. Let's not just sit and have a project, but have a project for the purpose. Why did you do Christmas carols last night? Because you have a desire to bring the Word of God to your town. Because you have a desire to be able to bring Jesus to the people around you. Because you have a desire for something more. You have a vision for something beyond what you have today. Yeah? If you have a job of doing Christmas carols, that's good. But if you have an understanding of the Christmas carols is a step to who you're becoming, then that motivates us all to get behind it and support it and be a part of it more. A vision enables us to have motivation. A vision motivates us to have a focus. If we know where we're going, we know how to focus towards where we're getting there. As Paul said with the race, where are you heading? What's your focus? Now, I'm going to speak primarily to the men out here, the older men perhaps. What is the main role of a magnifying glass? That's the exact right answer. It's to burn ants. Because when you get the magnifying glass in the sun and it focuses the light, okay, kids, don't listen to this. But the focus of the sun becomes so intense through a magnifying glass. A vision enables us to be able to focus. If I was to say, what are the needs of the community around you, I would assume there'd be a very, very, very long list. People who need help, people who need love, people who are disconnected in different ways. There's so many ways that we can help the people in our community. There's so many different things that we can do. And there's so many different ways that God wants to meet people's needs. But we can chase after so many different things that we become not so good at all of them. But if we have a vision of what God wants, is calling us into, that enables us to be focused on how we can pursue what God's calling us together. And if we all gather under that vision, we're focused and we have the power of God to be able to do some amazing, amazing things. A vision gives us focus. And a vision also helps us to be able to have good decision making. With a vision, we know where we're going and we know the decisions that we make around that to be able to get to where we're called to. I don't know how many people have played golf. I'm seeing a lot of frustrated people. The first question of playing golf is, where's the hole? Because you play golf, you get all these sticks, thankfully one ball. Usually you use three, but you get one ball, you put it down, and you got all these sticks to choose from. But which stick do you choose? Well, where's the hole? Have you ever been playing golf and you go, I don't even know where the hole is, and you're looking around for the flag, and you got the little map thing, oh, it's around the corner. Who did that? But you need to know where the hole is, how far it is, how bad your golf is, to pick the right stick, let's call it a stick, to know where to hit it to get there. If you don't know where the goal is, you can't make a decision that's a good decision. When we have a vision as a church, we have a vision as a people, decisions become easy. Because the decision becomes, is this getting us to the goal or not? A part of when I said focus. As a church, when you have a vision and people are saying this is what our vision is, someone might come and say, oh, I have a desire to be able to start this ministry. And you sit there and go, well, it's a good ministry. It sounds good. You're passionate about it. This is all good. Do you say yes or no? Is this a part of who we are? Well, if we have a vision, if we're pursuing a vision, then the decision makes it a lot easier. Is that aligned with who we're becoming? Is this aligned with where God wants us to be? A vision helps us to be motivated, it helps us to be focused, it helps us with our decision making. So where does a vision come from? Well, firstly, a vision can come from me. I love vision. I love to be able to dream what things could be. Like with the restoration show, I love to be able to sit there and go, ooh, what could they make? You're doing it so wrong. I love to be able to dream about what could be. I love to be able to sit with a church and go, what could be? To sit with a group of people and say, what could be? What could you do? Who could you become? I love to do that. And I know that if we sit down and we look at NCLS and all sorts of surveys and understandings and town demographics, and we can sit there and go, well, this is where the town's heading and this is the trends. We can create a space and say, this is where I predict we're going and this is what would be good and this is the way society is changing and we can put this in. And we can create a vision through all the statistics, the drama and the understanding, and we can do all that. And that's really good. And another way of creating a vision is to sit with God and to be able to pursue what we believe God is saying for us. Jesus gave the disciples a vision as he left earth. And he said to him in Matthew 28:18, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. So that's the vision that God gave the disciples. That's a vision that God has given us. That's our calling as a church. Every church should have this calling of God sending us to disciple the world, to baptize the world. That's who we are as a people. But what is it more defined from us? Is either of that wrong? Is it wrong to have vision from understanding and making decisions? Is it wrong to just be sitting and saying what God's calling us to do? No, it's not. But how do we know what God wants us to become? Because isn't that critical to who we are as a people? We can make all the decisions that we want and understand, but without God, it's just human understanding. But God's calling us as a people to pursue Him, to get our vision from Him. Hudson Taylor once reflected on vision and how God's work should be done. And he said, we can make our best plans and try to carry them out in our own strength, or we can make careful plans and ask God to bless them. And yet another way of working is to begin with God, to ask His plans, and to offer ourselves to Him to carry out His purposes. So if we want to pursue a godly vision for who we are as a people, then what does that look like? Well, I want us to take a little bit of a sidestep. One of my favourite, I've got lots of favourite passages in the Bible, like, don't we all? But one of them is 1 Corinthians 13, and it's my favourite because it's really easy. The last of these is faith, hope and love, and the greatest of these is love. It always intrigues me how faith, hope and love work together. And why is love greater than the other two? And I really believe that love undergirds everything. That God is love. Love undergirds relationship. Love undergirds community. It undergirds everything. It's the foundation of all we are and all we do. Love enables us to have hope and faith. Love enables us to forgive and to work together and to do anything. It's because of love. So hope and faith, how do they move up and work with faith, with love? Well, hope is our desires and our dreams. Hope is what gets us out of the bed in the morning. Hope is the desire for something good to happen. Hope is knowing that there is love there, and that love will support and sustain us each day. Hope is the human part of what tomorrow might bring. So what's faith? Another favourite verse, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is being sure of things hoped for, being certain of things not seen. So faith is being certain of what's coming up, of our hope, being sure of our hope. So how do we become sure or certain of something that we can't see that's in the future? Well, if my dad says something to me and says, I promise that this is going to happen, then if my dad is trustworthy, then I know it's going to happen even though I can't see it. Because he has the power to do this in my life. He has the power because he's my dad as a kid. If God is promising something, then we can trust him to be able to fulfill what he has promised. So when we talk about faith, we are walking in that promise that God has made, and we're walking into what God is going to do because he's trustworthy and faithful and he's shown himself in the past. So faith is being sure of what God's promised. Hope is being having a desire within myself for this to happen. So why am I talking about that? Well, I believe vision we can have from a human perspective, and we can have a vision from a faith perspective. And I believe that if we have a vision from a human perspective, it's like hope. That it's something that we've worked out, that we can drive towards, that we understand, that we can perceive. And there's so many people in the world that have vision and pursue vision from what they understand. But then there's a type of vision that comes from God. And that vision that God's saying, this is who we can become, is what we work to, what God's working towards, and we're agreeing and walking into that. When God gives us vision, it's something that he's already promised, and we're just taking the steps to get to where God's promised us to be. And God's calling us into having a vision from him. So what is your vision? What is your vision as a church? Where do you believe God taking you to be as a people? If we have a godly vision, it's going to look like a few different things. And the first thing is it's going to embrace the invisible. In Hebrews 11:1, Hebrews 11:27. Moses, it says, Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses pursued what he couldn't see, what he couldn't understand, what was invisible, and he pursued that. He pursued what God had for them. And vision embraces the invisible. And vision engages the impossible. The vision that God gives us so often, we look at and go, it's not possible, it can never happen. Janelle and I bought a house many years ago when we were in Newcastle. At the time, we worked for Youth with a Mission. Now, if you know anything about Youth with a Mission, you know that there is no income, that you raise your own support. And so when you go to a bank and say, we'd like to buy a house, and they say, can you prove your income? And you look at them and go, not exactly. We looked at that and went, that's impossible. But God gave us a vision of what he wanted to do. And God broke down all the impossibles to get to the possible, and we bought a house, and the rest is history. Even that part's history. But it was impossible. And God gives us a vision, it can be impossible. And godly vision expects the incredible. Godly vision expects things to happen that we can't understand, we can't explain, but God does God things. Godly vision, when it comes to us as a community, is impossible, it's invisible, it's incredible, and it creates stories. And we can sit in that and go, look how good God is. Because God has a picture of what he wants you to become, what you want this church to become, based in the foundation of what's gone in the past, created in the space of who we are today, but driven by a vision of who God wants us to be. Our purpose is to chase after God. Our purpose is to open our eyes and our ears to him to be able to see where he is taking us. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul re-reflects on the passage about the race. And he says to Timothy, I'm already being poured out as an offering, and the time for my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have completed the race. I have kept the faith. The victor's crown of righteousness is now waiting for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on the day that he comes. And not only to me, but also to all who eagerly wait for his appearing. Who is Stanthorpe Baptist? Who is Stanthorpe Baptist becoming? What is the vision that God's giving you as a people? What is God doing in your town? Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are a God of new beginnings. You're a God of healing, of wholeness. You're a God of forgiveness, mercy, and grace. You're also a God of power and strength. Father, thank you that you're not stuck in yesterday, you're not stuck in today, but you're driving towards what can be. Father, help Stanthorpe Baptist Church to get a glimpse of what it can be. Father, help us as a church to be able to take hold of the future that you have for us, the place that you have within the church in this town, of this state, of this nation. Be able to find and understand where you're leading the church, and to be able to have all the resources to get there, the passion to get there, the drive to get there, and the commitment to be able to see your glory in this place and in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen.